You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Never forced, never coerced. Open discussions about things in life that matter to you most. From tech to TV, movies, and gaming, and everything in between. Visit voluntaryinput.com to subscribe, contact us, and find out how you can support the show. Catch new episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Voluntary Input.
Well, Sam, I want to thank you for joining us on the show. How are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Thank you, Leo, for organizing this and for running such a fantastic show. So happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not sure where you are. Is it blazing hot? Because we've been having, you know, everywhere. It's like the world's on fire.
No, it's the opposite, because I'm in the Southern Hemisphere. I'm in Auckland, New Zealand, and it is cold. It's our winter here.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. So when it's summer in the Northern Hemisphere, it's winter in the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it is Monday, the 25th of July. So I'm calling the future. I'm here sitting in the future.
That's right. You're also in the future. What's those lottery numbers, by the way? Yeah.
I will DM you after this. Just don't tell anyone.
I won't. All right. Before we go too far off the rails here, can you tell everyone who you are and a little bit about what you do?
Yes, sure. So last 15 years or so, I have been involved in lots of different tech startups, and I've had two small exits. So my first startup was in the e-commerce space. I did a lot of digital marketing and all this. And I was doing this way, way back when it was not a thing. I was like buying Google AdWords in 2004 when no one had heard about such things. So I've always been early. Whenever there is a new technology, I want to use it. I want to test it. I want to see how it will impact us, impact businesses, and so on. So in 2015, I sold that business. I grew it from 2007 to 2015, sold that. And then I joined an esports startup. With that, I was based in Bay Area or near San Francisco for years outside US. And then that company got acquired in 2018. After that, I wrote books on tech startups. I spoke at events. I sort of co-owned an agency. I did all sorts of things. But what I do right now is I run a podcast called Web3 with Sam Kamani. That is my sort of one of my key things I do, where it is mostly focused on education around Web3. You know, what's the good, what's the bad, what you should avoid, how you should be safe, all those sort of things. For my full-time day job, I work for a company called Moonstream, moonstream.to or .to. Moonstream does it. It sort of builds building blocks for Web3 games. So the games use our engine to move on chain, but it's a very sort of a niche product in the gamification space. So and just gaming has been one of my personal sort of passion. So that's why I still work in that industry. I worked in esports. I worked in gaming related things for a while. So yeah. So that's in short about me.
And that's why you're here too, so we can talk about Web3, because I know there's a lot of confusion around it. There still yes. is. There's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of, I've heard a lot of negative talk about it as well. So
yes,
if you could, I always think that when we have these kinds of talks, it's a good idea to maybe start with some sort of definition. If you could define Web3, if you could tell someone, this is what this is, what would you tell them?
Yes, absolutely. I would go and define it. But I'll first tell you about just something that you just mentioned about how there is a lot of confusion. And I'll tell you why the confusion exists, because that will make it clear. So Web3, the term was first coined in around 2005. And what it meant at that time was semantic web. So the web that makes sense. So what I mean by that is that, you know, currently when you search something, you search by using keywords, and then Google is trying to link up keywords. It doesn't really understand the meaning behind it or the emotion behind it. Whereas semantic web is supposed to be more like humans, like how we talk, and it is supposed to understand the meaning, the and make connections based on that. So that was the semantic. But over time, in the last 2 years, the term Web3 has been hijacked by a collection of all these sort of random technologies, not random, but all these sort of technologies such as blockchain, crypto, artificial intelligence, augmented reality, virtual reality, all these sort of things have come together. And what they are now being collectively called is Web3. To define Web3, what is Web3 and how is it different from Web2? So you can think of Web1 as early days of internet. You had blogs, websites you went to, you just read them. They were pretty static.
They were pretty ugly just, too.
Yes, that was kind of like read and write web.
Right.
And you couldn't do much with it. Then in the mid 2000s, like 2005 to 2016, 7 or 15, came the sort of the rise of social media. So came the likes of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, lots and lots of messaging type platforms, social media platforms. And that was sort of the Web2. And it was aided by the rise of sort of mobile phones and stuff that everyone could be mobile, be looking on. And not only you were reading and writing like before, but you were also sharing, you were sharing other people's content. And that allowed information to move a lot faster. And what has happened in Web3, it takes it one step further. It allows you to own as well. So right now, when you are posting on, say, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg is not paying you anything to post and share or right, view posts not. On Facebook.
And it is not. Important for people to understand that, because I think a lot of people forget that point. You're not paying yes. for it, and neither is he paying you. So
yes, neither is he. So you are doing pretty much like work for him. You are continuing his network going
right.
Without him having to pay you. So what the key difference with Web3 is that there is often some sort of a token or some sort of a monetization model attached to it, where you get rewarded by that platform. And now that token, that sort of asset, that the more you interact with it, the more you get paid. And so you now have a voice, you have a say. So that token could have some governance value. So you could have some voting rights in the company. So those are called something like a DAO, like a decentralized autonomous organization, that hey, that everyone who has, and the more token you have, because the more you participate, and the more say you have in that platform on which direction you want it to go. So that is sort of the promise of Web3. And we can talk about on the negative side of things.
Well, basically, well. I like the sound of that, because yes. basically what you're talking about is everyone can potentially have an equity stake in
yes.
everything that's happening. And the
yes.
hijacking.
In everything that you participate, yes.
The hijacking part, yeah. I have to agree with you 100%, because I think that's where a lot of disdain comes from it too, is yes. because you have, and I'm just going to say it, it appears to be there's a lot of people in crypto and ironically in gaming that have hijacked it more than anyone. And people yes. on the outside looking in, they feel like, well, this is kind of a con game. because people can't see anything tangible from it. So it's like, well, what is this Web3? It feels like, well, it's not really anything except what these people are saying it is. So.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is, there is a reason why, because like everything that you do on, say, Facebook or any of the existing social media, it belongs, the data is hosted in a centralized server, which is controlled by that entity. If it's Twitter, then it's of course controlled by Twitter. If it's controlled by Facebook, they can, you know, choose to kick you out. They can choose to keep you. They retain that right. Whereas with Web3, the whole idea behind it is that it uses blockchain. So blockchain is just another type of a database that is not hosted in one place, but it is decentralized across lots of different parties and people like you and I. So what happens is that no one entity can say that, hey, I don't like you, you are out of my platform. So the promise is that it is kind of anti-cancel culture. That is the promise. We haven't figured it out. No one has figured it out completely yet, because of course it's end of the day. It's people. You still want to stop the bad actors.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You got to have
causing harm.
You got to have some sort of governing body somewhere, right? For the bad actors.
And so that's where like the concept of a DAO or a decentralized autonomous organization comes in, that everyone votes with their sort of own governance token, and the more tokens you hold, the more say or a more of a vote you have. And then if everyone on the platform doesn't like, you have a vote around it, and everyone says that, hey, we don't like this direction where this is going, let's change track. And then so it is a bit more sort of a democratic way of doing things. And this is all a promise of three. It has happened in some instances. There are lots and lots of DAOs, like decentralized autonomous organizations. You can go and search them. And a lot of them come together in like overnight. And you can create, whereas if you were going through the traditional model of, setting up a massive organization with 2 million people or a few million people and hundreds of millions in that DAO together. Now it's been happening sort of overnight or really, really fast in this sort of Web3 space. And then sometimes these DAOs set up, they collect the money, and then they go and then invest wherever the people in the DAO say, so we want to invest here or there. Another example of this is ENS domains. So you might have seen some people have like, say leoallen.eth or .eth domain name.
Yes. There's a lot of them. Yeah.
Lot of them. Yes. So those domain names were provided by ENS, a company called Ethereum Name Services or ENS domains. When was it? About a year ago or sometime, they did a initially people were just buying them, and then if you had that domain name, they gave like not a cashback, but they gave out their tokens to however many ever domains you held, and they gave out $60 million they distributed to the people who owned their domains.
Wow.
Now you don't get that in other domain name service if you own the voluntaryinput.com. If you own it at GoDaddy or wherever, they are not going to suddenly go and pay.
Yeah, they don't
but
pay
that's
me.
Not the, that's not
just say it, Sam. They don't pay me.
but that's even not the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that you have a voice. You have some say in the governance of that. So you can choose everyone. If in that says that, hey, we want to make all our domains free, we don't want to get anyone paid, that's fine. That's the direction you can take. So these sort of things can happen in Web3, which don't happen in Web2.
Right. Now, I've had several conversations with people about AI, because it's gotten kind of to the point, it's a little bit of a wild, wild west with the way people just throw AI around, like, oh, this new webcam has AI in it, or this new whatever, AI, everything's AI. And I feel that it's important that someone reins all that in and is kind of in control of that messaging. Like, who do you think, when it comes to Web3, should be responsible for the correct messaging of what Web3 is versus a lot of the nonsense that we hear? Because there's just so much nonsense out there. And it's like, who do you believe? Who should be the authority, if you will, that we go to and say, this is what the true Web3 is, because these people are saying it. Who would you say those people are?
Yes. Okay. So, first of all, any program that uses if else loop, they call it AI. You know, some people, like, they take the liberty. And I know, like, I used to host a podcast where I used to interview VCs and tech startup founders. So VCs as in venture capitalists and tech startup founders. And I know there was a trend like a year, 2 years ago, where every startup founder, because they wanted to raise money, they will say that their software has AI. And it is just like a marketing jargon.
Exactly. It becomes a marketing thing. And it's like, but that's not the truth of what this is. So.
No, that's not what the truth of that is, what it is, but it is like, it is kind of like technicality. It's like you can have a soda or a soft drink with lots and lots of sugar. It will make you fat, but technically it is fat free. It has no fat in it. There is no layer of oil floating in it. You know, there's no fat in it. So you can say it's 100% fat free, but that does not mean it's healthy. So just like that, there is no FDA of Web3 because or of the technology world, because this is, the whole space is so new, and the whole premise of Web3 is that you have your own sort of tokens, currencies. You stay out of the system in many ways. So the whole idea is against kind of cancel culture, which has its own negative things, as you are mentioning, that, you know, people just say whatever they want. And so many projects have no idea. They've just set up, they've just started, they have no idea what they're doing. There is no real utility. So that's why it is just like any new field, it's full of snake oil merchants.
Oh, exactly. I'm glad you said that. The snake oil merchants. And it's sad too, because when you love tech and you see the potential of things, and then you have those snake oil salesmen, and they come out and they mess everything up. And I just want to say, stop. You guys you're making it bad for everybody, because here are some great opportunities.
Do you love comics, movies, video games, and more? We do too. Join me, Josh Scar, and my cast of colorful co-hosts on Talking Smack. Look for our yellow and red icon on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, and other podcast players.
He's on the run from the law, falsely accused of murdering his... Wait. Oh, got my scripts mixed up here. Here we go. This makes more sense. The Movie Wire Podcast with host Justin Henson. Hear Justin's movie verdict wherever you listen to podcasts. Tune in to The Movie Wire today.
Hi there. This is Dan from Casting Views, and you're listening to Voluntary Input with Leo Allen. Let's get back to the show.
And speaking of those great opportunities, I see that you often speak about opportunities in Web3. What are some of those that you can share with us? What are some of the opportunities that you see that especially companies should jump on or start taking advantage of?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see a lot of opportunities on the gaming side, but then on the other side, I have been seeing opportunities that are created for individual artists as well as musicians, because of the whole sort of rise in the last year or so of the whole NFT space. And by artists, I don't only mean just like the art as in like the drawing world, but it could be anything. What people not mistake, but often see NFTs as is just as a image, And then they just focus on the art value or the graphic value of that. But what I especially I'm seeing is the real value of the NFTs are in the access side of things and in the authorization side of things. So for example, the only reason I believe why Gary V's NFTs were popular or he made so much money out of them is because of access. That say, you know, if you want to go to his conference, VCon, the only way to get there is you have purchased one of his NFTs. So it gives you the access and you can even jump on a Zoom call with him for some of the NFTs and stuff. So that is where we should be really looking at, is as a type of access that you cannot have by any other sort of means. Dallas Mavericks, they did that. Like, they gave out some NFTs. I think they gave them out for free. But then yeah, if you hold those...
That's because Mark Cuban is all in.
Yes. Yes, because Mark Cuban is all... And he's it's not like in. He has not lost money. He has lost a lot of money. He has lost a lot of money.
He has.
But he can afford it. These NFTs. Not with these NFTs, but with other projects that he has funded. People that he has funded who has ran away or who burned it all or some things like that. Even in Shark Tank, you know, he has made investments that have not panned out as he thought, which I'm sure the stories are out there on YouTube and all that.
Risk of doing business. I mean,
that's the exactly right. You say it. That is the risk of doing business. Some projects will succeed, some projects won't. And so the key idea is, what can we learn from some projects that have succeeded? And the best thing we can learn is that they see NFTs in the form of access. They see it as a lifelong VIP ticket. And what happens is that previously also you had things like that, you know, VIP tickets or lifelong VIP passes and things like that were sold for big amount. But then every time that pass was resold to someone, the original organizer, the original creator didn't benefit. But now with NFTs, because they are digital on a decentralized ledger, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about that the original server will close down somewhere, because it's in a decentralized database spread across thousands, if not millions, of computers around the world.
Right.
It's going to be there perpetually or forever or as long as things stay alive. So the thing is that, say, if you have an NFT that you sold, and I bought that NFT, or say you gave away for free, but what that NFT did was allow me to have maybe half an hour of your precious time to get some feedback from you as consulting or something. And then every time, say, I sold that NFT to my friend, who lives in India, he bought that NFT, but then the 10% or 20%, whatever the amount you have set, will go to you. Then he had the half an hour meeting with you, and by this time, you are an international celebrity, your stock has gone through the roof, and then he goes and sells it to his friend. She lives in Australia. She has just won a lottery. She buys it for over $1 million, but then the 20% still goes back to you. So the thing is that you have perpetual sort of revenue every time that product is sold and resold and resold. So this is the benefit where it comes off as access. So people who are seeing it as something that can give access, they are doing like really well. That is one opportunity I see.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of good come from it too. Yeah, I've seen where artists will create things, paintings, yes, digital art or whatever, and they'll sell it, but they'll give all of the money to like their community. A guy, I cannot remember his name at the moment. He was doing this for, I think he lives in some town in Czechoslovakia or something like that. And
yeah,
they were really hurting. And so he just made it his mission to learn all of this. And then he started creating this digital art. And he was able to basically support his entire community because of what you just described, you know, that income in perpetuity. And I thought, man, that is amazing. And speaking of that,
because artists never had that.
No, yeah,
because artists never had this before this, because they could create artwork. They sold it to gallery.
Hopefully.
The gallery, because of the, or sometimes they even give away for free because to get the name built. But then if the gallery sells to someone and who's billionaire and he then keeps it in his private collection, donates it to a university, and then university sells it after another 10 years for a massive big amount of money or something like that, the artist is not going to see any of that appreciation. The original artwork would have been sold for minuscule price, but now because of it being on a digital distributed ledger, the record being kept and everything on a, in a decentralized way, it's not a private sale that cannot be tracked. It's not like cash in hand. It is through a digital sort of means that automatically the smart contract gets executed and 20% money goes to the digital wallet of the artist. And that is now it's being taken to one stage further. There are platforms where you can support and sponsor, say, like sports people, like, you know, they are, or kids who are training in sports, but you see a great potential in them. You can start supporting them really early because they might not have the money to go and get training and education and things because they're from a poor household. But then there could be some sort of a smart contract that you get, you support them for this many years till their selection happens, and if that happens, you get 10% of income for the next 5 years or something like that. Right. So those sort of things can be done with NFTs or this sort of a distributed blockchain sort of a technology that weren't possible. And now there are platforms that allow you to do this. So you don't have to necessarily learn about anything about the technology. It's all sort of like click, and just like you setting up a Shopify store or something
right,
like that,
yeah.
You can do it.
There's even an entire network that was built called Hype Network. I'm not sure if you ever heard of them.
Yes, I have kind of heard of them. Yeah, the Hype.
They had a huge event last year where they brought in filmmakers, artists, photographers, and they did a conference, like a virtual conference, but it was kind of in a
metaverse.
Yeah, it was a metaverse conference, and it was really fascinating. But the way that it was set up is all the artists and filmmakers who participated were able to generate revenue, and it was just it was an amazing thing.
Yeah. I think that has the key difference I have seen. The another thing I have seen is that I don't know you've heard of the concept called 1,000 True Fans. So
that sounds familiar. Yeah.
I think it's Amanda Palmer or someone. So he said that, you know, you just need 1,000 true fans who follow you and who buy everything you do. that's all you need to have a sustainable living as an artist. However, like now with Web3, you don't even need 1,000. You just need 100 true fans who would buy things that you produce. I know people who have done that, and there are artists who can now do that. It's like previously on Spotify or Apple Music or things like that, you need millions of views to even make $100, whereas now the same artist, like a singer songwriter, could create a song and have it really exclusive, say that I'll only sell it to 100 people this year and I'll release it a year later. And each copy would be sold for $1,000, but that's not it. They will get like, say, a Zoom call with them, and they'll, you know, they'll even meet them in person or whatever.
Or send them some merch or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Send them some merch and stuff. So then you can have 100 people selling them this NFT for $1,000 each. It's 100,000, and they could do this once a year, this sort of event, this sort of a thing. And they could still be making 100,000 a year with just 100 fans. previously, if you had 100 fans, you were playing in a bar somewhere, you would not be making 100,000 a year.
That was a sad night, is what that was.
That was you would get the free burger and a beer, and then you'll get like $50 to take home kind
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
It is a very, very different model of doing things, that you need very small number of fans, whether you're an artist, singer, sports person, and you can still make a living wage.
So if someone were to want to get started, I mean, you mentioned you don't really have to learn a lot. Where would you, if someone came to you and said, you know, Sam, I really want to at least try to understand all this Web3 stuff and maybe possibly, you know, generate some revenue out of it. Where, how do I get started?
Okay. So, first thing I would advise is that they have to look into their own skill set, that what is their skill set. Are they technical? So, you know, are they good at programming? Are they good at art? Are they good at music or whatever it might be? Are they good with people? Because most of these projects need community managers, community management, all that. Are they good with social media? So, you know, find out, first thing is that, or are they good at, like, you know, sales and going out and making partnerships, so first thing is, what are your own skills? Second thing, all the Web3 projects, they live on Discord. So Discord is like a channel like Slack or something, where it's just like a that's where all the community lives. That's where they chat.
That's where all the cool kids are, Sam. Just put it that way. Discord is the place.
That's where all the cool kids
are.
It started with gaming, but all the Web3 projects live there. And so anything that you are interested in. So, you know, if you are interested in, say, basketball, so see what are the basketball NFT projects out there. So nearly every team has their own, but a lot of the basketball stars, like Steph Curry, has his own sort of NFT collection, and so many of them. Kevin Durant has his own thing, and so NBA Top Shots is another one by Dapper Labs.
NFL has one as well.
Yes, they all have. So, and not only that, their individual players have their own things going on. They have their own brand, like partnerships with brands. So look into that project, just search this person you like and search their name, and then go down on their website, and at the bottom, there will be a link to Discord. Go and join that Discord, become a part of the community, see where there is a gap there. Maybe they need an artist, maybe they need someone to look after their community on Discord, like a community manager or a moderator. Maybe they need like an salesperson. There's so many people, there's so many jobs in this space that you'll find something somewhere to get started. The key thing is to get started, even if it is to learn and just to see. Join a Discord, and that's how I would start. And then, of course, there's so much source material and content on the internet that you can just search whichever field you decide to go. You can learn for free. You don't even have to pay any classes. You don't have to pay a coach. Do not do that. Don't get into that.
Web3 coach.
Don't join a pyramid scheme. Don't join anything. Don't join anything that's asking you for money. There's enough free content online.
That's what I was going to get to next, because I think a lot of the problem too is people think, "Ooh, I can get rich real quick." And I tell people all the time, with anything, no, you're not. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to be quick. Can you? Yes. Yeah, possibly. But get the rich quick part out of your mind. Yeah.
Yes. So there is a thing that, you know, people don't really show, or they don't really even see the backstory of the person. They see that this artist suddenly made $2 million. I've got a friend on TikTok who made his own NFT collection and made $2-3 million in like 1 week that sold out and stuff. But what they don't see is the 15-year journey to make him the person to be able to execute that. So not only he's been doing art for so many years that he was good, he was an excellent content creator. He has probably over 1 million followers on TikTok. So he already had the audience. So you are someone without skill. If you are someone without that sort of an audience of 1 million people, the thing is, he executed it in this way. He could have made his own makeup line or whatever, you know, clothes line or something, and he could have made money anyway. So it's not the NFT that helped him make money. It is the first 15 years of grinding and getting to that point in life that may help him make money. So what is happening is people are getting in, and then there are, of course, there are agencies out there, you know, like who said, oh yeah, we'll make you an NFT collection, and there'll be people saying, oh yeah, we'll do your marketing and you'll make a lot of money and just give us $10,000. There it is, exactly right. And that's where the problem happens, and people are gonna get burned, people are gonna get and
then they blame the technology, and it's like, no, it's not the technology. You fell for a con game. That's what the problem is. The problem isn't the technology. You got conned. You got cheated. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's the same thing that, you know, they see even, it's exist in other fields as well. But other fields have existed for a lot longer. So say, for example, artists playing a big stadium or a big show and they're making that much money in a day, or like a sports person making this much money in a year or something, and then that person is earning, I don't know, whatever, $75,000 an hour or whatever they see, but they are just seeing that event in an isolation. They're not seeing the first 20 years that that person had to grind to get to that point, or the doctor is charging me $450 an hour, but what about the 12 years that they had to study and go in $300,000 debt to get to that point? Exactly. What happened to that?
Right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. People do not see that part. They don't see that part at all. And it does. It exists in everything. It exists in podcasting. I mean, it happens all the time. And I'm friends with a lot of independent podcasters, and the conversation is always the same. These quote unquote coaches and experts, they claim to have all these tools and ideas to make you rich, and your podcast will be all this, but you have to start off by giving them $5,000. Oh, okay. Yes. There's the problem right there.
Yeah. Yeah. You say that.
Well, Sam, thank you so much. Now, what are some ways people can find you in the work that you do, and how can they connect with you to learn more?
Sure. So, go and the easiest is just search Web3 with Sam and I'll pop up on any audio platform. That's where I do share a lot about Web3 and all sorts of technology and stuff, and I often do go and speak at lots of events. So by the time this podcast goes live, the event would have finished. But the next event that I'm speaking at two events, or I'll be present at these two events. One is the Web3 Festival in LA on the 28th of July, then the next one is 29 to 31st of July NFT Expos. So I'll be at both these events. If you are there, come and say, look for me, or just send me a tweet. My DMs are open, always open for good conversations with people who work in this space. You can find me on Twitter at Sam Kamani, SamKamani, or on LinkedIn. Feel free to connect with me. My DMs are open for anyone. I don't have a course, whether it's for free or paid or anything like that, but I do know. So I think the best is I share a lot on how a lot of these sort of technologies work, a bit more on the technical side on my podcast. So if you're interested, just go and find it. It's all for free.
Yeah, that sounds like a course within itself.
Yeah. But that's another thing that I've always thought is to just make a playlist. So make a playlist on different topics and then I can just share that. And it's on Spotify and all that. So it's on Apple Podcasts. So it's always free and it stays there for free. So that's what I like.
Absolutely. Same. Well, thank you so much for coming on. enjoy the future. And again, don't forget to give me those lottery numbers as soon as we finish, we wrap up here.
Yes, yes, I will be sending them to you.
It's funny, that's what everyone always says. What are the lottery numbers for tomorrow, since you're in the future?
Yeah, that's a get rich quick scheme that a lot of people have tried. Yes.
See, what you should have said was, oh, I'll give them to you if you first pay me $5,000.
Yeah. I'm learning so much from you. This is great.
How to be a thief. Well, again, thank you so much, Sam. And I hope people check out the podcast. Lots of information there. And did you do a TED Talk as well?
I did on gamification. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do work with, and it's like, you know, how to gamify your day-to-day life to make it more fun, make it more engaging, and to acquire new skills.
Great. I do my gaming on Google Stadia, by the way. Love Stadia.
Oh.
Cloud gaming. Yeah, it's where it's at.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. I got to check that out.
Hey, you should. It's free. You can play for free. But that's another conversation.
Yes. Yes.
But yes. I want to thank you once again for coming on. And as always, to everyone listening, if you have any questions or comments or show ideas for me, just go to voluntaryinput.com. There you can find all the past episodes, where you can listen to the show, where you can catch all the videos as well. Better yet, while you're there, register as a guest, because we're always looking for great guests like you. Thanks once again, Sam, for coming on. And I encourage everyone to go listen to your podcast, because like I said, if people really want to understand what Web3 really is, aside from, because I'm telling you, social media sometimes is the problem. Aside from all that chatter, go listen to Web3 with Sam.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Leo.
All right. You have a great rest of your day. I suppose it's daytime.
Yes. It's the afternoon. I'll show you outside.
It's the afternoon. It's nice.
It's like a forest out there in my backyard.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you sometimes find yourself scrolling through the internet looking for articles to read, only to find that you can't read through them all because you have other things going on? What if someone could read them to you while you tackle other tasks? Well, let me tell you about Newsly. Newsly is an all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural human voice. Simply put, the entire internet becomes listenable, all in one place. Browse articles from topics you choose, and you can follow any topic as specific as you'd like. From sports to science to Bitcoin, it will find you the latest articles and read them to you aloud. And guess what? They have podcasts as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 50 countries. And yes, this podcast, Voluntary Input, is there too. Download and use Newsly for free now. Follow the Newsly link and use the promo code in the show notes of this episode and receive a 1 month free premium subscription. So again, if you ever find yourself scrolling through daily articles, stop scrolling and start listening. Follow the Newsly link and use the promo code in the show notes of this episode and receive a 1 month free premium subscription.